Then the district commissioner returned from his tour. Mr. Smith went immediately to him, and they had a long discussion. The men of Umuofia did not take any notice of this, and if they did, they thought it was not important. The missionary often went to see his brother, White Man. Page 193. There was nothing strange in that. 3 days later, the district commissioner sent his sweet-tongued messenger to the leaders of Umuofia, asking them to meet him in his headquarters. That also was not strange. He often asked them to hold such palavers, as he called them. Okonkwor was among the 6 leaders he invited. Okonkwor warned the others to be fully armed. "An Umuofia man does not refuse a call," he said. "He may refuse to do what he is asked. He does not refuse to be asked. But the times have changed, and we must be fully prepared." And so the 6 men went to see the district commissioner, armed with their machetes. They did not carry guns, for that would be unseemly. They were led into the courthouse, where the district commissioner sat. He received them politely. They unslung their goatskin bags, and their sheathed machetes, put them on the floor, and sat down. "I have asked you to come," began the commissioner, "because of what happened during my absence. I have been told a few things, but I cannot believe them until I have heard your own side. Let us talk about it like friends, and find a way of ensuring that it does not happen again." Ogbuefi Ekweme rose to his feet and began to tell the story. "Wait a minute," said the commissioner. "I want to bring in my men so that they too can hear your grievances and take warning. Many of them come from distant places, and although they speak your tongue, they are ignorant of your customs. James, go and bring in the men." His interpreter left the courtroom and soon returned with 12 men. Page 194. They sat together with the men of Umuofia, and Ogbuefi Ekweme began to tell the story of how Enoch murdered an Egugu. It happened so quickly that the 6 men did not see it coming. There was only a brief scuffle, too brief even to allow the drawing of a sheathed machete. The 6 men were handcuffed and led into the guard-room. "We shall not do you any harm," said the district commissioner to them later, "if only you agree to cooperate with us. We have brought a peaceful administration to you and your people, so that you may be happy. If any man ill-treats you, we shall come to your rescue. But we will not allow you to ill-treat others. We have a court of law, where we judge cases and administer justice, just as it is done in my own country under a great queen. I have brought you here because you joined together to molest others, to burn people's houses and their place of worship. That must not happen in the dominion of our queen, the most powerful ruler in the world. I have decided that you will pay a fine of 200 bags of cowries. You will be released as soon as you agree to this and undertake to collect that fine from your people. What do you say to that?" The 6 men remained sullen and silent, and the commissioner left them for a while. He told the court messengers, when he left the guard-room, to treat the men with respect, because they were the leaders of Umuofia. They said, "Yes, sir," and saluted. As soon as the district commissioner left, the head messenger, who was also the prisoner's barber, took down his razor and shaved off all the hair on the men's heads. Page 195. They were still handcuffed, and they just sat and moped. "Who is the chief among you?" the court messengers asked in jest. "We see that every pauper wears the anklet of title in Umuofia. Does it cost as much as 10 cowries?" The 6 men ate nothing throughout that day and the next. They were not even given any water to drink, and they could not go out to urinate or go into the bush when they were pressed. At night, the messengers came in to taunt them and to knock their shaven heads together. Even when the men were left alone, they found no words to speak to one another. It was only on the 3rd day, when they could no longer bear the hunger and the insults, that they began to talk about giving in. "We should have killed the white man if you had listened to me," Okonkwor snarled. "We could have been in Umuru now waiting to be hanged," someone said to him. "Who wants to kill the white man?" asked a messenger who had just rushed in. Nobody spoke. "You are not satisfied with your crime, but you must kill the white man on top of it." He carried a strong stick, and he hit each man a few blows on the head and back. Okonkwo was choked with hate. As soon as the six men were locked up, court messengers went into Umuofia to tell the people that their leaders would not be released unless they paid a fine of 250 bags of cowries. Page 196. "Unless you pay the fine immediately," said their headman, "we will take your leaders to Umuru before the big white man and hang them." This story spread quickly through the villages and was added to as it went. Some said that the men had already been taken to Umuru and would be hanged on the following day. Some said that their families would also be hanged. Others said that soldiers were already on their way to shoot the people of Umuofia, as they had done in Abame. It was the time of the full moon, but that night the voice of children was not heard. The village Ilo, where they always gathered for a moon play, was empty. The women of Uguedo did not meet in their secret enclosure to learn a new dance to be displayed later to the village. Young men, who were always abroad in the moonlight, kept their huts that night. Their manly voices were not heard on the village paths as they went to visit their friends and lovers. Umuofia was like a startled animal with ears erect, sniffing the silent, ominous air and not knowing which way to run. The silence was broken by the village crier beating his sonorous ogene. He called every man in Umuofia, from the Akakanma age group upwards, to a meeting in the marketplace after the morning meal. He walked from one end of the village to the other, and walked all its breadth. He did not leave out any of the main footpaths. Okonkwo's compound was like a deserted homestead. It was as if cold water had been poured on it. His family was all there, but everyone spoke in whispers. Page 197. His daughter Izinma had broken her 28-day visit to the family of her future husband and returned home when she heard that her father had been imprisoned and was going to be hanged. As soon as she got home, she went to Obierika to ask what the men of Umuofia were going to do about it. But Obierika had not been home since morning. His wives thought he had gone to a secret meeting. Ezinma was satisfied that something was being done. On the morning after the village crier's appeal, the men of Umuofia met in the marketplace and decided to collect without delay 250 bags of cowries to appease the white man. They did not know that 50 bags would go to the court messengers, who had increased the fine for that purpose.